There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. Here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. And, hey, we're raising our children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado and wondering what in the world is going on with our world. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a homosexual nation developing. So many stories. I got five, six stories here right in front of me. Deerfield, Illinois. A bunch of 14-year-old boys at a Deerfield High School remanded to a homosexual indoctrination class, forced to sign a document stating they would not tell their parents about it. Dave, that's outrageous. Can you believe that we're indoctrinating 14-year-old kids in homosexuality and they're not allowed to tell their parents they're being indoctrinated?
That's right, because parents no longer have a say in their children's education. Once you put them on the big yellow bus, they belong to the state.
You know, Dave, I don't know what went on in that homosexual indoctrination class. Was there a laboratory?
That's probably why you had to sign the confidentiality agreement.
May have been it, yeah. Also, on the front page of the Rocky Mountain News, we've got a picture of a couple homosexual boys. Evidently, they got into a fist fight with a couple of straight guys up in Boulder, Colorado. And now the straight guys, of course, are getting it for the hate crime, because that's a hate crime. You get into a fist fight with a bunch of homosexuals, and that, my friends, is a fist fight, and that's a hate crime. But my question is, what in the world is going to happen to Joint Chief of Staff General Peter Pace? You know, the guy just said homosexuality is an abomination. It's immoral. He likened it to adultery, and boy, everybody is upset about this, including Republican senators.
Yeah, Republican Senator Warner chastised the general for saying that it was immoral, because Senator Warner is pretty convinced that homosexuality is not immoral. In fact, I think he thinks it's one of the most moral things you can do.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening in our nation today. And here's a story from Fresno B. This is out in Fresno, California. Another very interesting story, and I want to look at this because it's going to have, I think, give us some insight as to what is going on today in our schools and in our society. And according to this, districts out in Fresno, California are grappling with the use of the term so gay among little tiny tykes, saying that's so gay is a common way for kids to dismiss something as silly or weird. But at one Fresno elementary school, it also leads to punishment.
That's queer.
Yeah. We're just trying to stop the inappropriate use of the word gay. Well, inappropriate use of the word gay. That's so gay. Apparently, they see us as degrading and as hate speech. Although there isn't a policy that solely focuses on the word gay, the inappropriate use of the word does fall under state education code on anti-harassment policies, according to Fresno, Clovis, Central, and Visalia Unified School District leaders. All right. Now, Dave, I'm confused. I'm confused about the word so gay. Are they mad about people speaking about homosexuality in a less than positive way, or are they mad about the word gay being misused? Misused in the sense that gay used to mean happy, right, instead of miserable homosexual sodomizing males. So what exactly are we talking about? Gay is happy. Gay is a delightful word. It refers to something that is delightful. Are they upset about the fact that we have a devolution of language happening and homosexuality is equated to something like a happy, wonderful lifestyle?
I think what it comes down to is we have blasphemy laws. You no longer can say anything bad, not about God. Go ahead and use his name in vain, but don't you dare say anything that could even be construed as negative about those people who are bringing wicked sexual acts all over our culture.
But Dave, do you understand my confusion here? School officials in Fresno are mad, and they're mad about the use of the word gay. Are they mad about people speaking about homosexuality in a less than positive way? Are they mad about our use of the word gay in the wrong context because it really means delight? Are they mad because children are using the word to mock each other, and mocking language isn't very kind? Are they mad because children really ought to be, as you say, taking God's name in vain out there? They ought to be blaspheming Jesus' name every day in the schoolyard. I mean, what are they mad about here? I'm really, really confused. Why are Fresno officials mad about the use of the word so gay? Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this brings up a lot of issues today. First of all, let's talk about the whole use of degrading language. Why do children mock each other. And Dave, if they're upset about children mocking each other, I guess I understand that. That's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, children should not be mocking each other out in the schoolyard. And if they're mocking each other by using a term so gay and, you know, degrading some child in the schoolyard, which I'm guessing that's not the reason why they're enforcing this anti-defamatory language out in the schoolyards in Fresno, California. But if they are coming out against the mockery on the schoolyard, I think that's a good thing because children do mock each other. Have you heard this before, Dave?
Once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah, it does happen, doesn't it?
Occasionally.
Children, I think, learn pretty quick how to mock each other, and part of it has to do with clicks. Clicks. Now, we don't have clicks in our home. Do you have a click in your home?
Yeah, yes, we do. Or? We have the boys' click and the girls' click.
Okay, all right.
So maybe they segregate into different rooms. They wear different outfits.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, so maybe there is a click there, but I don't really have that sort of a click in my home because I only have one boy, so he hardly constitutes a click.
Can't be a click of one.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact of the matter is clicks are a reality in public schools and in neighborhoods today. And I think what happens sometimes, Dave, is you have to mock other kids in order to be accepted into a certain group. You follow me here? In other words, okay, if a kid wants to participate in a certain click, he needs to mock some other kid. And once he does that, he sort of gets that badge of honor and can now participate in the click.
That mocking is a official U.S. pastime and sport, I might add. You're just actually learning it at that age.
You know, and I personally, Dave, I think that this mocking thing has got to go. There's this old phrase that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But there's no truth to that at all. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, we got to deal with the mockery issue early on in the home. Sometimes kids do it because moms and dads are being sarcastic to each other. They're mocking each other, and the children are just learning some of that mockery and applying it to their friends and schoolmates in the schoolyard. But, again, I think we ought to be very careful with this issue. And, folks, even when our children are very young, you ought not to expose them to any form of mockery at all. It's very important. It's hard enough to control your own children, but you throw them into a neighborhood with 37-year-olds or a classroom with 37-year-olds, you have no idea what sort of language is going to be used in those school yards and in those schoolrooms. And, Dave, you know what? You don't have any control over that. A lot of families tell me they pulled their children out of first grade or second grade and homeschooled them because they were picking up some of this language. They were using that mockery at home with their own siblings. And parents would not tolerate that. They could not handle the fact that children were picking up these bad habits from other children in the classroom. This is a motivation for a lot of folks who want to homeschool because they realize they simply cannot control what happens in other people's homes and in schoolrooms. Nevertheless, we want to ask the question today, my friends, is mockery ever, ever legitimate? Is mockery ever legitimate? How do you treat homosexuals? And how do you handle people who wear their sin on their sleeves? By the way, Jesus mocked the Pharisees. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment on Generations. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Back on Generations, this is Kevin Swanson, Dave Buhner, also in studio with me today. And, folks, today, family values is a hate crime. Joint Chief of Staff is calling homosexuality an immoral activity, and he's in trouble. He's in lots and lots of trouble. Dave, I don't think the guy's going to survive.
Well, he's certainly not going to be invited to the correspondence dinner at the White House.
Yeah. But, folks, here's the question today. I think we're going to get a lot of Christians who are going to be called on the carpet for hate crimes because, well, as it turns out, this is the really hard news, folks. Leviticus and Romans 1, and there are passages in the Bible. Yeah, it's God's Word. And there are passages in the Bible that say homosexuality is an abomination, and it is a capital crime. That according to the book of Leviticus. And so that does not really bode well with the front page of the Rocky Mountain News, the Denver Post, or any other of the major media sources, and it's certainly not going to bode well with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
it isn't a matter of whether or not people are going to hate. It's only going to be what they're going to hate. Are they going to hate God? Are they going to hate God's law? Are they going to hate those who break God's law? Are they going to hate those who hate God? Somebody is going to get hated.
You know, Dave, I don't tolerate murder. I'm so incredibly intolerant with murder.
You are.
I know. Somebody walking up to some kid in a school room and putting a gun to his head and pulling the trigger and then knocking out 16 other people that way. You know, Dave, I hate that sort of thing. And I know there are liberals out there who say you can't hate. Hate is a crime. Hate is a horrible thing. You can't hate murder. You can't hate abortion. You can't hate homosexuality. You can't hate anything. You just have to love everything and everybody. I know liberals have said that. Liberals love cannibalism and murder and abortion and Hitler and everything else. Liberals love everything, right?
No, they hate hate.
They hate Christians.
They hate hating Christians.
The only thing you're confusing me now. No, I think the only thing they hate is intolerance.
They can't tolerate intolerance.
That's right. They just simply cannot tolerate intolerance. They can't tolerate any God who would come in and say, hey, you shall have no other God before me. I am the only God, and my law is the only law. It is the final law to which I will hold everybody accountable. Boy, liberals can't stand that kind of thing at all. But let's get this thing back to the subject of mockery. I think mockery is appropriate at some points. Jesus engaged in mockery. He mocked the Pharisees, the idea of hypocrisy, Pharisaism. Yeah, he mocked that sort of thing. He even mocked Herod. Remember when he said, go tell that fox, referring to Herod, thus and such. So he referred to Herod as a fox. Dave, I conclude that Jesus mocked Herod in that passage.
Well, John the Baptist referred to the Pharisees as a brood of vipers. Yeah. Certainly that wasn't a compliment.
No, it was not at all. Hate speech. Yeah. Okay, Dave, I here's the way I would like to put this. I think I can hate atheism. I can hate atheism. I hate atheism, and I mock atheism, don't I? I mean, we talked about Dawkins' book. Remember Richard Dawkins' book? And we laughed at it. We actually, there are points at which we just thought it was the most hysterical thing we had ever read. And yet, if I was sitting next to Dawkins on an airplane, I don't think I would sit there and mock him the whole time. You follow me here, Dave? See the distinction here. I think I would have a certain amount of compassion for the man. I'd be concerned that he has abandoned all rationality, and I think I would try to point out some of the points at which he has abandoned rationality and ask that he come back to repentance and repent before the living God. And he knows, of course, deep down in his heart that he's a creation of that God, and he ought to submit himself to that God. And Dave, I think also we can say that if Jesus was talking to Herod, it would be a different situation. If he was in a conversation with Herod, but Herod represented a political figure. He was somebody who everybody understood as a political institution of the day. And you're right, he had engaged in public sins. That is, his sins were very, very public. Everybody knew what they were. So, of course, he felt it was quite appropriate to call Herod a fox. And I think, Dave, with some political figures like Hillary Clinton and folks like that, I think it's appropriate from time to time. Bill Clinton, we've said a few things about Bill Clinton, I think, that would probably constitute mockery. But we do that because he represents what Herod represented, somebody in a political position who was engaged in very, very public sins in his political position.
Yeah, I think that's extraordinarily important. We wouldn't mock John Doe down the street here for his sins. Well, because John Doe isn't parading him in front of everybody. John Doe doesn't have a position of power where he's trying to legislate those positions. On the other hand, there are those people who are public persons who are publicly proclaiming their sin or other sins through legislative means or just through cultural ways. And now they have made themselves objects of derision.
Right, and let's take this thing to homosexuality now. The idea of homosexuality is wrong. It's just plain wrong. It's as wrong as bestiality and incest, my friends. And so if I mock homosexuality, it doesn't mean I'm going to walk up to every homosexual and mock every homosexual. Now, I think we can sometimes do this with humor, but let me qualify that as well. Sometimes I think people use humor to mock a sin, and then in the end you wind up minimizing the sin itself. So you can minimize what turns out to be offensive. Now, here's the point. There are two forms of humor. There's attack humor, and there's endearing humor. You use attack humor to attack what is evil, and use endearing humor to attack endear what is good. And so you've got two forms of humor. I think it's appropriate, perfectly appropriate at times, to use attack humor, that is satire and sarcasm, for something that is evil and described as evil, inherently evil, according to God's word. Now, I think it's also the duty of good men everywhere to attack evil, lies, and deceit that corrupt men's minds and destroy the family, which, by the way, is what we do on this program all the time. Now, good men will attack. Now, liberals have come back and said, if you attack somebody or something, then you're just evil because you're attacking. And that's why they go after people like Ann Coulter all the time, Dave, because Ann Coulter's on the attack. She constantly uses satire to bring down horrendous evil ideas of the left. So we're, of course, going to attack things like fatherlessness, my friends, especially the fornication that creates fatherlessness, the irresponsible males and the lesbianism and the feminist females that love the curse of fatherlessness. They love single parent families. They talk about it all the time. They think that's the most beautiful thing on planet Earth. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not God's way. And a nation where 37% of children are born without fathers is a cursed nation. And we're going to attack fatherlessness with everything we've got, but we're not going to attack fatherless children. See, Dave, you understand the difference there? We're attacking what creates the curse of fatherless children. It's a horrendous thing. The liberals love it. They create as many fatherless children as possible. They support as much fornication, lesbianism, and everything else as they possibly can because they hate fatherhood. But, ladies and gentlemen, in a day where 37% of children are born without fathers, we have a huge criminal problem in this country. And we have families utterly disintegrating right and left because the hearts of fathers are ripped away from their children even at their birthday. They won't even show up on their birthday. I'm going to attack that with everything I've got, my friends. But at the same time, I'm going to be as kind as I can possibly be with fatherless children. I'm going to grieve for them. And, Dave, I'm going to encourage adoption of fatherless children as well. Do you see the difference there, Dave? Mercy on one end, but justice on the other. And I think anybody who loves mercy and exercises justice is going to bring both to bear. That's right. We got to attack this thing with everything we're worth, my friends. We're going to attack evil. We're going to come at it with sarcasm and satire if necessary. But here's the evil out there. You know what it is. Fornication, irresponsible sex outside of marriage, pornography and homosexuality, lying, adultery, education systems that refuse to teach that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. We're going to attack those things for everything we're worth because they're destroying our morality. They're destroying our families. They're destroying our nation. They're bringing all sorts of a curse to this nation. And we're going to come down on these sorts of things. Now, let's bring this thing down to the real issue at hand, Dave, and that is the issue of homosexuality. If you have a homosexual next door, what do you do with him? Do you put up a yard sign in your front yard that says no fags? Or do you let your 15-year-old son go over to his house and fix his computers for him? What do you do? Yeah, good questions. What do you do? Well, here's number one is you don't mock him. Number two, if he wears his sin on his sleeve like some fornicators do when they shack up together, you know, if it comes out in the conversation, you need to identify it as a sin. A sin against a creator who's got moral expectations of his moral creatures. And if you have opportunity to get to know him, yeah, you've got to talk about sin and talk about how Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins. Dave, an interesting story somebody told me about witnessing to a pilot in the Royal Air Force out when he was in England. And the guy had never heard about Jesus Christ, why he came to die, that sort of thing. So my friend talked to him a little bit about why Jesus came to die. He says, for our sins. Jesus came because we're a bunch of sinners. He says, sinners? What's a sin? He says, I don't have any sins, do I? And my friend just started going through the Ten Commandments. He said, well, these are God's expectations of you. And, you know, seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. That includes fornication. He says, fornication? The guy just started laughing. He said, you got to be kidding me. That's a sin? I've never seen. He truly believed he had never sinned in his entire life, Dave. This guy really believed he had no sin. But here's the point. Remember, folks, most churches have stopped preaching about sin about 100 years ago, and people don't have a clue that God is actually somebody who needs to be feared. Their education ignored the fear of God and has ignored the fear of God for the last 120 years. They're just not taught in public schools. So they're not going to fear God. They're not going to believe that God even exists or created the world. That's not taught in public schools. They're not going to believe that God has a law system to whom he holds us accountable. They don't understand this. So you need to go all the way back to that point and say, hey, God created the world. God has moral expectations of us. We broke his law, and we deserve his judgment. We deserve hell forever, and that's the hard news. And a lot of people don't want to share that sort of stuff, but you got to walk in and share that sort of stuff to them, and then you say, that's why Jesus died. Now, if you don't give them all the bad news, you don't talk about sin and hell and God's judgment, they're not going to have a cotton-picking sense for why Jesus came to die on the cross. But before we wrap up the program today, my friends, I really got to deal with this particular issue because a number of people have walked up to me and asked me the question, do you hang out with homosexual relatives or incestuous relatives, those who are given to incest or those who are given to homosexuality or some sort of abomination like that, do you spend a lot of time hanging out with relatives that commit incest or homosexuality and they wear it on their sleeve? That is, they don't just hide out and commit incest or hide out and commit homosexuality. They do it all the time. They live with it. This is their lifestyle. They live an incestuous lifestyle or they live a homosexual lifestyle. This is who they are. They define themselves this way and they wear the sin right on their sleeve. What do you do with these people? Well, a couple of things. The number one thing you do is you tell them to go and sin no more. That's what Jesus did to a lot of folks. He says, you go get rid of your covetousness or your homosexuality, your fornication, your pet little gods and your pet little sins, and you follow Jesus. That's what Jesus said to the rich young ruler and the woman at the well and everybody else. Jesus said, you go and you sin no more. You stop your adultery. You stop your homosexuality. Just stop it and stop your covetousness. Sell all of your goods, give to the poor, and come and follow me. That's what Jesus said. Now, some people, that really turned them off, like the rich young ruler. So you may turn people off when you say those sorts of things. Now, here's also a good general rule. You need to limit the time you spend with those who refuse to repent of their sins. You don't waste your time with people who aren't going to repent and continue to wear their sins right there on their sleeve, especially if more of them is rubbing off on you than them is rubbing off on you. Now, here's where it gets really, really dicey, and that is your children. How do your children interact with homosexual relatives? You got to be sure that you don't send the message to your children that you approve of their homosexual behavior. And when your children are very young, it's better to avoid contact with people who wear their sins like fornication, incest, or transvestitism, or homosexuality right there on their shoulders. Unfortunately, sins like these tend to come with a built-in sales program to sell the sin to everybody else. That's what being out of the closet is all about. It's trying to sell their sin to everybody else. And so the message that is sent sometimes to your children is, see, homosexuals are really nice people. They gave you Christmas presents, etc., etc. Therefore, homosexuality is very nice. And young children, when they're very young, have a hard time discerning good and evil in a mature way, as God brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They can't see through that sort of logic. Again, the message that Jesus brought to them is go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. I'm willing to forgive your sins, but you need to stop sinning. You need to stop your homosexual lifestyle right now. That's the message you've got to send home to your homosexual friends and relatives. That's the loving message that Jesus sent home to sinners when he walked the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with my program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.